What is up, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Apple, Spotify, and everyone tuned in on the Texas Sports Unfiltered app? Welcome in to another edition of Bucky and BK live on Texas Sports Unfiltered and on the free TSU app. Today is Tuesday, December 30th, 2025. And the Buck and I are not with you for the next 2 hours. It's a load management day for the Buck. We've got a couple of great guests filling in for him this morning. In hour number one, our man, Stephen Noddy from Fanatic Perspective. You've seen him, you've heard him a number of times on TSU over the years. He's one of the best Texas Longhorns YouTubers out there. If y'all aren't subscribed to Fanatic Perspective, you are missing out. Make sure you follow Stephen here on YouTube, but also on Twitter and all of your social media accounts as well. We'll be talking plenty of Texas football. Of course, we are one day away from the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl. Some major transfer portal news to dive into. Should the Longhorns be players in the Cam Coleman sweepstakes? We'll talk about a ton of Texas football and plenty more throughout the next couple of hours. Steven, great to see you, my man. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, BK. I hope you're okay on the set of Blair Witch Project or whatever the hell's going on over there. It is a pleasure to be replacing the, you know, just to be sitting in and filling in for the great Bucky Godbolt. You know, I grew up listening to you guys, you know, before I started my YouTube journey. So this is an honor and a bittersweet moment, and it's a real moment to be on here producing with you.
Hey, you're making me feel old. I feel like you and I are around the same age, and now you're telling me you grew up listening to me. That's
well, you started when you were 10, so, you know... I'm older than you, but you know, when you do the math is math this morning.
Hey, that works for sure. Yeah, man, I am in the dark today, broadcasting live from a hotel in downtown Columbus, Ohio, Stephen, where the current temperature is 18 degrees, and the current feels like temperature is 5 degrees. The high here today is 25 degrees. So I know it's a little chilly in the great state of Texas. We've got a little bit of a cold front over these last couple of days following that ridiculously warm Christmas we had a week ago. But I'm missing it. I'm envious of what you got down there. What's the weather like back in Texas? Just rub it in for a second.
It's already coming back, man. By New Year's Eve, we're going to be back in the 60s. So... Godspeed to you there in Columbus, my brother. And Hopefully we can get you some warmth and some lighting and all that. I mean, we can see you. I see you got the white thermo on, brother. You hanging on over there.
I am barely hanging on over here. And doing the show from a hotel room this morning. Got the girl sleeping in the bed here. So we're trying to keep it as dimly lit as possible. But, look, I'm a radio guy by nature. You know that. Nobody needs to see what I look like. I think most of our audience has already seen what I look like. So we'll keep this the way it is for today. But appreciate y'all rocking with us this morning. Plenty to dive into. We'll start off with Monday Night Football. Usually we've got a Texas football topic to open up the show. And I guess this is a Texas football topic because of what Bijan Robinson did last night in the Atlanta Falcons' 27-24 victory over the Los Angeles Rams. Bijan Robinson, boy, if you had him on your fantasy team, and you were playing in the championship this week, congratulations to you. There is no way you lost. If you did lose with Bijan on your team, something went horribly wrong. That guy put up a 40-piece last night in the final game of the fantasy season. 22 carries, 195 yards, and a rushing touchdown. Also, 5 catches for 34 yards and another touchdown. Just more of the same from Bijan. You know, Stephen, the Falcons spent a top 10 pick on him. We knew how good he was in college. But obviously, anytime you draft a running back that high in the modern era of NFL football, it's going to come with some questions. Bijan Robinson has answered all of those questions. This guy, really, from the moment he stepped foot on an NFL field, has been one of the most dynamic players in the league. And he showed that once again on a national stage last night. What a performance by him.
It was so impressive to watch. He is one of the legitimate Texas superstars in the NFL. And what was so interesting is you talk about the high draft pick that they use and some of the criticism that has come with it over time about using a pick that high on positional value and whatnot, things of that sort. But what value do you put on him being the face of your franchise, having performances like that in primetime games? Bijan this year in primetime games has been outstanding. Bijan this year, seven games this season, seven, over 150 total yards. He's now 254 yards away from Chris Johnson, CJ2K, for those who remember, his league scrimmage record, right? Now, I know we're playing in the 17-game era, so it's a little different, but still, right? Like, having a Texas player like this, I mean, you got to go back to, like, Jamal Charles, like, when, yeah, like, a positional guy, right? Not a defensive guy or, you know, one of the offensive weapons. And that's what he was drafted to be, BK. It's been incredible to watch. He's a fantasy stud. He's an NFL superstar. He's the face of a franchise. He's the total package.
He really is. And, yeah, had that 93-yard rushing touchdown last night, the longest rushing score in Falcons history, also the longest rushing score in the NFL this season. You mentioned that scrimmage number. How about this scrimmage number? Bijan Robinson, 5,605 yards from scrimmage in his career. That's the most for any player in NFL history before the age of 24, breaking Christian McCaffrey's record. And before McCaffrey set it, it was Barry Sanders who had the record. So you talk about some elite company. Obviously, Barry, one of the best to ever do it. Christian McCaffrey going to waltz into the Hall of Fame when his playing days are done. Bijan Robinson just eclipsed that record. And again, doing it before the age of 24. His head coach, Raheem Morris, has often called him the best player in the league. And, you know, I don't think a lot of people put Bijan Robinson in that category. A lot of people only look at the quarterback when we're talking about the best player in football. But it also doesn't help that Bijan's been such a on a bad team for his entire career, right? The Falcons haven't won anything since Bijan has entered the league. So he doesn't get that big-time spotlight. We've yet to see him play in a postseason game. So until that happens, I don't know whether it's fair or not. I don't know if Bijan's going to really be in the conversation. But anybody who watches this guy play, and even his peers too, I think it matters more what other guys in the league who play the sport have to say than what the talking heads like you and me have to say. Those guys always have nothing but high praise for Bijan Robinson. This dude is a total difference maker. And I'm not a Falcons fan, Steven. And I'm usually not the type of guy who roots for an NFL team just because a Longhorn is on it. I find myself rooting for the Atlanta Falcons because I want to see Bijan play in meaningful games. And, dude, there is nothing outside of the Cowboys doing everything, because that pisses me off every single Sunday, and I know it does you as well. But I don't think there's a thing in the NFL that makes me angrier than watching Tyler Algier get a carry. No disrespect to that guy. Like, that guy's probably good enough to be a starting back on a few
other
teams.
Guy was a 1,000-yard runner as a rookie. Yep, and they draft Bijan, and we're, like, angry. He has...
I mean, 10 carries for 23 yards for Algier last night. Meanwhile, Bijan's going 22 for 195. What are we doing getting Tyler Algier 10 carries? I get it. Bijan can't get every single touch. But there are games when it feels like those guys are a 50-50 split. I'm just like, Atlanta, what are you doing? Nobody wants to see Algier. Yeah, he's a good player, but he ain't Bijan. Feed number 7, The Rock. And, I don't know why I get so pissed off, almost offended, when I see Tyler Algier get on the field, because he's just not Bijan, you know?
Bijan's one of one, man. I mean, 76 catches this year, 810 receiving yards, right? He's giving you, you know, insane receiving production. For such a young player to be so involved in the passing game is impressive. You know, one thing I do worry about, though, when you talk about the workload and all the things he's accomplishing, one of his draft mates was Jahmyr Gibbs. And the whole point, everybody criticized the Lions for taking Jahmyr Gibbs as early as they did, just a few picks after Bijan. But the point was they knew they were a playoff team or going to play a meaningful games. So we want the touches where it matters, and their shelf life is so short. So the touches have to be meaningful and matter. And Jahmyr Gibbs, at least, the Lions won't be making the playoffs this year, but at least he's been able to play meaningful football and play in playoff games. That was supposed to be Atlanta, too, this season. They have to get it together very quickly, especially before his money comes up, or else he'll be another Saquon Barkley that gets pulled from his team and maybe the last piece for a contending team looking to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's a great point. And it's not for lack of effort, right? The Falcons brought in Kirk Cousins on that big contract, thinking he was the answer at quarterback. Then they drafted Michael Penix in the top 10, thinking he was the answer at quarterback. Obviously, Penix has been banged up for a lot of this year. The Falcons have some talent on the roster. They just haven't been able to get the quarterback right. And again, they're trying. They're trying a bunch of different things, but it hasn't happened. And that's why, yeah, Bijan hasn't played in those meaningful games. And yeah, that's a great point. I mean, look, he's got 2 years, presumably, on his rookie contract. The Falcons are going to pick up that fifth-year option, so he's got two more seasons in Atlanta. But, yeah, I mean, there are plenty of teams that are going to be willing to bend over backwards to pay Bijan whatever he's looking for. And if he's also looking to win, he's going to leave Atlanta. These are an important couple of years for them to figure it out. And also, look, I have a hunch, Steven, that Bijan, and I think most of our audience is going to agree with me on this take, I think we could be talking about an Adrian Peterson type where it's a guy who is really good into his 30s. But let's call a spade. We are talking about a running back here. Those guys have shorter shelf lives than any other position in football. And Bijan's such a big part of that offense. I mean, nearly 300 carries. He's got 76 catches. He does everything for Atlanta. He's taken a lot of hits, and his body has taken a lot of hits throughout his career, obviously dating back to high school, but from his time in Austin and now to the NFL. Like, when you're talking about a running back who relies on his athleticism as much as Bijan does, it makes it imperative to take advantage of his skill set early in his career. So that's where, yeah, Atlanta's maybe missing their opportunity unless Bijan is that total freakazoid who's going to be good for another, I don't know, 5-10 years, which he very well could be.
And if that is, that's great, but you can't load him up thinking that way. Troy Aikman was actually asked about this on last night's broadcast on ESPN and Disney, where he's like, they were like, hey, do you think he can maintain this for the next 12 years? And Troy was like, honestly, I don't know. It's rare, right? So that's where Tyler Allgeier is the necessary evil to have some type of work share. Now, it's not the diabolical Arthur Smith type work share who was there before and would just forget that he had Bijan on his team, right? Now it's more of, hey, rest, load management, carries, things like that. And I think they found that good medium there. But again, we want to see him get meaningful carries that are contending. That Falcons team, by the way, does have, you're right, they do have talent. You don't beat the Rams in a Monday night game, in a game of the Rams' need for seeding and potentially trying to play for a bye in the first round, trying to get the number one seed. You don't beat them the way that they beat them and get up three scores and do all the things they did, frustrating Matthew Stafford defensively, getting after Puka Nacua in the pass game without James Pierce Jr. and all these young guys they drafted. So that team should come around, but they've just been one of the more disappointing teams in the league considering the NFC South sorry-ass division that they play in.
Yeah, that's a great point, right? I mean, they're 7-9 right now. They're only like a game out of first place in that division, but obviously eliminated from playoff contention. So no postseason football in Atlanta. And that's just a downtrodden franchise, Steve. Like, we're talking about it from the last 3 or 4 years, but it's the Falcons. They are known chokers, obviously responsible for the biggest choke job in NFL history. And they've never won a Super Bowl, and they lose a lot in Atlanta. So, you know, that's the thing for Bijan. Like, I'm hoping he can be a guy who turns it around, but, you know, he's only a running back, right? He's maybe the best in the league, and he's pretty much a number one receiver to boot, but he's only one player. He's only a running back, and they got to find a way to build around him to make sure they're not completely wasting what looks to be the start of a Hall of Fame career. So we'll see.
I hope they are a playoff team next year. I really, really do. I want to see him playing January in these meaningful games.
That would be nice. So there you go. What a performance from Bijan Robinson. Again, making some NFL history, becoming the all-time leader for scrimmage yards for a player under 24, breaking Christian McCaffrey's record, 22 carries, 195 yards, 34 receiving yards, two touchdowns for Bijan. And again, congratulations if you had number 7 on your fantasy team. He made you some money last night. Great player.
Can
great
I give a quick shout out to somebody that made me some money last night? I know fantasy talk is a terrible, terrible rating, but give me 20 seconds. Shout out to Drake London for doing absolutely nothing. Your boy was down 3, or your boy was up 3 heading into Monday Night Football last night, and Drake London in our league came through with 2.4 points. That was as thin as it could get.
And no way. So you were up 3.
DMV champ.
Oh, my
DMV
God.
DMV heavyweights. That league, if you know, you know. DMV heavyweights, I'm your league champion again. Bow down. Thank you, Drake London. If I see you in person, I will shake your hand no matter what.
You were up 3 with nobody left, and your opponent had Drake London, and you won?
Correct.
Oh, my gosh. Congratulations.
Thank you, Drake London. Your check's in the mail.
Wait, is this a league that I should know about? I'm not a fantasy football player, so I'm not looking for an
invite. Oh, no. This is some D.C. buddies back from where I'm from, the Maryland, D.C.
All right, DMV makes sense. I was like, hold on, is there like a Texas media league that I got to know about here? What's the deal? Might have to unretire from fantasy football to take some money from
Stay
you guys.
Stay retired. It's better for your mental health.
It is. It is indeed. I can't argue that. Well, congrats to you, sir. That's big time. You probably thought you had no chance going into last night, and you got it done. It's huge.
I got suspicious and stopped checking. Right? Yeah. Like, so I'm like, eventually he's just going to catch a pass when I go to the bathroom or something. Nope, never happened.
That's amazing. That is amazing. So there
totally
you go.
Healthy. Didn't get injured.
Yep. That's awesome. That's the Kirk Cousins effect for you right there. You should be thanking him just as much as you're thanking Drake London. All right. So there you go. Good NFL conversation to open things up. But let's bring things back to the University of Texas. A lot to dive into. I want to get Steven's thoughts on Cam Coleman. Obviously, a massive transfer portal domino fell yesterday. Shortly after the Buck and I got off the air, star transfer wide receiver Cam Coleman announced that he is intending to hit the transfer portal when it opens up this Friday. Yeah, we've been spending a lot of time talking about the portal and who's leaving, but starting on Friday, we'll get to find out where these guys are going to be playing next year. Real quick, though, I want to give a sponsor shout-out to Audiovisual Consultations. Talk about a great New Year's resolution. How about upgrading your home TV setup for 2026? It also makes for a great post-holiday gift as well. AV Consultations, as you covered, all you have to do is give them a call, 512-255-8678. If you want to upgrade your TV setup, if you want the 4-screen man cave like I have at home, if you want the 85-inch screen like the Buck has at his place, if you want the home theater room with the giant projection screen and the surround sound, they can do it. Speakers for your whole house, TVs for your whole house, indoors and outdoors. They do whole home lighting. They do surveillance cameras. Basically, anything audiovisual automation, AV Consultations can hook you up. They've been hooking up Central Texas since 1988, and they've hooked me up at like 5 different places that I've lived. They will do the same for you. Again, all you have to do is give them a call, 512-255-8678, or find them online at avconsultations.com. And a shout-out to SendTexTickets.com as well. If you're looking to attend any event, sporting event, concert, comedy show, festival, Broadway show, you name it, wherever you are all over the country, only one place you need to go. That is SendTexTickets.com. They've got you covered with all of your ticketing needs. And, of course, don't forget about that 10% discount. All you have to do is type in the promo code SendTex10 at checkout. You're going to get 10% off of any ticket purchase from our great friends at SendTexTickets.com. All right, Steven, I mentioned it a moment ago, a massive transfer portal domino falling yesterday. Star wide receiver Cam Coleman leaving Auburn, entering the portal. A lot of speculation about the possibility of this happening. Of course, Auburn's been in a rut these last few years. They had a coaching change this offseason, and people were connecting some dots and wondering if Cam Coleman was going to leave. You know, I saw a report over the weekend that said Auburn was feeling pretty good that Coleman was going to stay. Alas, college football in 2025 and 2026, Coleman is portaling out. There's been some early scuttlebutt about Texas potentially being being in the mix. Steven, I guess I'll ask you. I mean, we all know how good Cam Coleman is. We all know how much money he is going to command in the transfer portal. If you are Steve Sarkisian and the University of Texas, are you all in on trying to bring Cam Coleman to Austin, Texas?
It depends on the conversation where Cam Coleman's head at and what he wants. Absolutely, I want the talent, and I would be willing to pay a good bit. Am I willing to pay $2 million? Probably not in all reality, right? That would be a groundbreaking number, and that could potentially screw things up for classes beyond in terms of what guys want. So you have to be mindful of that. But I think you have a very compelling pitch if you're Texas. And if the young man is willing to still want to obviously get strong NIL, but also play for a contender and really consider his development, his long-term development. Are you the type of person that's just going to make short-term decisions and chase the next thing and just be a mercenary? That's absolutely your right, right? I mean, I who am I to judge? But if you want to win, if you want to be developed, if you're really about your whole experience, and as a Texas, if I'm Steve Sarkisian, I'm looking at, I have at minimum of what I could possibly semi-guarantee is 12 games left of Arch Manning after this bowl game. I'm doing everything to make this team as nuclear as possible, in all seriousness. If Ohio State would not leave this stone unturned, okay? Mm. So why should Texas? And I understand this is not to say that you take money from building up the offensive line. This isn't to say you take money from rebuilding the running back room or any other pieces that Coach Boom may want on defense to get what he needs. I'm not saying pull from that. I'm saying get greedy. I've been saying that going back to last year, okay? These dudes at Ohio State had Travion Henderson in their backfield, who was a starting running back for the best team in the AFC, and Ohio State said it's not enough and went and got another starting running back in Quinshon Judkins. I don't want to hear any excuses if Cam Coleman's head is in the right place. Now, if this brother's willing to go play for anybody that's willing to pay him $2 million, and then he's frustrated because he's catching passes from a redshirt freshman that they couldn't pay, or some bum-ass transfer, and he ends up with 30 catches for 400 yards and 2 touchdowns, and his draft stock tanks, and he's frustrated, and he's got the towel over his head. We all know the look from these receivers. Then yeah, that's on him. But if you're Texas and you can find a price point that's reasonable and say, look, Matthew Golden came here for a year. A.D. Mitchell came here for a year. Look what we've done for these brothers. Look at Bijan. Look at these offensive. Look at the coach quarterback combinations and consider that. That will also tell me where your mind is at as a football player. Real talk. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. We'll see. I'm Texas. I would heavily pursue the young man.
I mean, Cam Coleman's a stud, 6'3", 200 pounds, former five-star recruit coming out of high school, and not all five-stars are created equal. I mean, Cam Coleman was the third-ranked player, not third-ranked receiver. He was the third-ranked player in the class of 2024. And you talk about quarterback play, Steven. Like, here's Cam Coleman's numbers, his freshman year, 2024, 37 catches, 598 yards, 8 touchdowns. He did that with Peyton Thorne as his primary quarterback. That guy sucks. This past season, 56 catches, 708 yards, 5 touchdowns. He did that with Jackson Arnold as his primary quarterback. That guy sucks. We know that as Texas fans. So this guy's almost quarterback proof. I mean, he hasn't played with anybody close to the likes of Arch Manning, and he still put up more than 1,300 yards and 13 touchdowns in 2 years in the SEC. And by the way, Auburn has to play Georgia and Alabama every year. So it's not like they've been playing a bunch of cupcakes in conference play. This guy's been going up against good teams and putting up against really gaudy numbers. He is a superstar talent. Steven, this guy could play at Bishop Sycamore next year. He'd be a first-round pick. in the 2027 NFL draft. Like, he could sit out all of next year and be a first-round pick in the 2027 NFL draft. And I think that goes to your point about the attitude, right? Wondering where his head is at, because he knows all of those things. He knows how good he's been. He knows how much he's in on NFL radars already. How motivated is he? Does he treat next year like a contract year, where it's like, man, if I ball out, I could be a top five pick in 2027? Or is he like, man, I don't even need to play that well. I can just cash this $2 million check. I could be all right. I'm still going to get drafted pretty highly in the NFL in 2027. I do wonder what the mindset is for Cam Coleman. But, Steven, from a Texas standpoint, or perspective, maybe that's a word I should use because you're a fanatic perspective, how can you say you're all in on 2026 if you're not at least kicking the tires on this?
You can't. You can't. And I'm going to give you a comparison real quick, because that's a great point, right? You can't say you're all in if you're not at least kicking the tires. If the boy goes to the highest bidder and they're trash, that's on him. But I need to know that I need to know the visits were in there, that the conversations were there, that you guys are connecting the dots with the agents, and at least, you know, really asking those hard questions, which I'm sure the staff will do. Here's my thing. As Cowboys fans, you and I here, that's our George Pickens. Mm. That's our George Pickens, BK. I mean, the comparisons between the two, what they can do vertically, what they can do. I sat here on open gym with Patrick Davis before the trade happened. I said, when we did our three biggest wish lists for the Cowboys in the offseason, I said, Patrick, go get me George Pickens. He's sitting right there for you. It's a distress asset. It'd be perfect. That's the perfect thing. I don't want to hear any excuses. And this is a very similar scenario now for Arch Manning. I understand you will get a lot of data in this Cheez-It Bowl tomorrow.
Yeah.
For the receivers that will be playing, the young guys, you will get a lot of data from the Michigan game. Don't leave any stones unturned. Go get me Cam Coleman. If he's willing to be here and he's willing to make just a few sacrifices. Because what does being at Texas do for his brand playing with Arch Manning? What does Texas do for his draft stock if he actually – like, we talk about first-round pick if he does – but Luther Burden was supposed to be the sure thing first-round pick. They had one bad year at quarterback play at Missouri, and his butt was in the third round all of a sudden. Yeah. So you got to have these conversations with the young man. This could be our George Pickens. That's kind of a similar way I'm looking at it here.
Yeah, I like that comp, and hopefully it's George Pickens who actually can help lead Texas to the playoff, because, you know, GP wasn't doing that in Dallas. Not his fault. He doesn't play defense. Hey,
if we have that type of defense at Texas, then we have some Coach Boom discussions that will feed families for generations.
Yeah.
I hope I don't think that will be the case, though.
We'll have some Coach Boom discussions and some Coach Sark discussions. Hey, why did you hire Coach Boom, dude? Yeah, I shouldn't put that Cowboys hex on the Texas Longhorns. We don't need any of that.
We're just looking for the production. We're just looking for the production. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and it's like, all of the conversations that you've had on your channel, that we've had over here, that I've had on Locked On Longhorns, that every Texas fan has had at every water cooler, every bar stool, everywhere around the country, it's about Texas being all in on 2026. And it's, oh, well, they're comfortable letting Trey Wisner and DeAndre Moore and Leonga Lefau leave because they feel like they can find upgrades out there on the portal and they're trying to win in 2026. Oh, the recruiting class, yeah, they went from number one to number seven because, well, they're saving up extra money for the transfer portal so they can be all in on Arch Manning's final season in 2026. Oh, speaking of Coach Boom, they fired a very established, very good defensive coordinator in Pete Kwiatkowski because they feel like they found something a little bit better with Will Muschamp. Like, all of that stuff, Steve, is centered around the goal of winning a national championship next January. Bringing in Cam Coleman, obviously it doesn't guarantee you anything. We know that, but it sure as heck helps your chances to win a national title next year. So if you really are all in, and again, Sark's got a price. Texas has a budget. There's not unlimited money. And obviously, you know, A&M and Alabama and every other school that's going to get involved here, they can spend too. They've got resources too. So everyone's got their price. But again, if you really are all in on 2026. If you really do believe that Arch Manning is this generational type of talent and you don't want to waste him while you're here, then you've got to be doing whatever you can to help him and to help your team succeed. And getting the top-ranked wide receiver, maybe the top overall player who's going to enter the portal this entire offseason, that's the way to do it right there.
And I know that what the NIL he's asking for is historical. It's a large number to pay for 12 games. However, if you can, we're not, I'm not saying Texas go be the highest bidder per se. I'm not, that's not my point. What I'm saying is put together a compelling NIL for the space that we have with those key point. And it, because it still comes, it takes two to dance. Yep. And some of these dudes, as talented as they are, they're losers or they don't care. So if he doesn't care about winning and he's just like, I want the biggest bag I can get for 2026, then we're not your team. I'm also say that. And sure. I think the coaches are more than fair to tell his representation that. But we are hoping that you're not just all only focused on the NIL. And there's more here in play to boost your overall football career, which will yield you dollars in the NFL. Go see the players we mentioned earlier.
That's a great point. And, yeah, you wonder if the kid's a loser. I mean, he did choose Auburn out of high school, and he was committed to Texas A&M for 6 months in high school before flipping to Auburn. So I've got some question about
there's some
his
questions.
Character and his judgment choosing those two schools.
If I'm an NFL scout, I'm going to ask you, like, Jeremiah Smith, to me, went with Heartline in Ohio State. To me, why are you picking these losers?
Yeah. And Coleman's from the state of Alabama. So I guess that's why Auburn was in play. But, you know, he could have gone to Alabama. I know the Crimson Tide offered him, too. And I'm sure they were willing to pay a pretty penny to get him there. And he chose Auburn instead. So, to play devil's advocate here, I mean, I think every Texas fan should want Cam Coleman on your team. Just go watch some highlights. Go watch the tape. Watch anything. I mean, it's easy to see why this guy's put up the numbers that he has and why he's going to command such a hefty NIL deal this offseason. But, again, Texas has more money than most, but they don't have unlimited funds. And part of being a college football general manager and also being a head coach nowadays is being smart with your spending, right? Not paying one guy too much when you have other holes on your roster that aren't going to be able to be filled because you're paying that one guy too much. So here's the way Texas has to look at it. Of course, we want to have our cake and we want to eat it too. But the reality of the situation here, Stephen, Texas needs two running backs now. I mean, they need three offensive linemen. They need two linebackers. They need maybe a defensive back. They need a defensive tackle. If Jack Injuries decides to go pro after the Citrus Bowl, they're going to need a tight end. Like, that's the thing. You've got a bunch of other needs there. Can you afford to be spending $2 million, maybe more, on one wide receiver? Which, look, I think Texas is in the market for a receiver after DeAndre Moore left. I think they're going to try to bring somebody in. But do you want to be spending that kind of money on that guy when you have all of these other areas of your team that you have to address?
Yeah, that's the tough part. And that's outside of Trevor Goosby's decision as well.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, hopefully he returns. But if he's now going to the NFL draft and might even be your highest graded player for the draft, then now you're in the market for a left tackle, like,
yeah,
or a tackle in general, right? Depending on how they, you know, if they move Brandon Baker over, like, those are real questions they have to ask just in case as well, right? So absolutely, the roster management is, but some of this, to your point earlier, is of Texas's choosing. Texas was the one that moved off of Baxter, and Texas is the one that didn't want to pay Wisner and didn't want to pay DeAndre Moore. So they, and some of these things we will see come Friday, that they have been moving smart with other agents and they have other stuff already lined up, ready to go, and as any big time school should have. So we will see the fruits of that here soon, and just like we did with the running back and the defensive coordinator. But right now, before this bowl game and before we evaluate the rest of the roster, and are we going to 105 scholarships as well, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to still fill out. So we shall see.
Yeah, that's a big question for Steve Sarkisian and company. And look, there are a ton of other talented wide receivers that are already in the portal, and we're going to see plenty more enter by the time we get to Friday, and the portal will be open for a couple of weeks. So there'll be a lot of big names that Texas can go choose and go after, even if they don't end up with Cam Coleman. But Cam Coleman, clearly the best, most talented receiver. He's the only five-star wide receiver currently in the transfer portal right now. So he's a guaranteed difference maker. Losing my
voice. Okay? You lost your
Columbus. Yeah, we're back. I think we're back.
All right.
You got me?
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, I mean, Cam Coleman's just a guaranteed difference maker. But there are a lot of really, really talented players. I mean, I've been banging the drum for Danny Scudero. Right, that's a guy Texas fans got to see in week two when the Longhorns hosted San Jose State. I mean, that guy, there wasn't a lot on San Jose State that looked like it belonged on the same field as Texas. Danny Scudero looked like he belonged. That guy was one of the most productive receivers in college football this year. Like, Danny Scudero is not going to cost you $2 million. You can get that guy for six figures.
Plays a position in need.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he started his career at the FCS level. You're telling me he's going to end at the University of Texas? I think he would absolutely take that. And you're right, a position of need. You know, he's that slot guy who could just get open. I think that's something the Texas wide receiver room could really use next year, a guy who could run routes and get open and make some things happen after the catch. I mean, Danny Scudero is that guy. And again, there's a guy like Nick Marsh at Michigan State. Reed Harris out of Boston College is really good. Eugene Wilson out of Florida, who Texas saw this season. I mean, just to name a few, there are a lot of talented receivers to where, okay, Texas could still address that hole with DeAndre Moore leaving, but also make sure that they have themselves enough money to go address, again, everything else that they have to address, because there's a lot.
Yeah, Jace Brown's in the portal as well from Kansas State, who's, you know, got, you know, proven deep threat, guy that can get downfield, guy that can play on special teams as well. So there's some really, really nice options in the portal for Texas if they do try to go an alternate route. And I do, the thing with Texas in the portal with these receivers hasn't been that they've missed on really anybody. It's, we just haven't seen, we want more of it. I think they got gaslit a little bit by people that were like, you guys don't develop receivers enough. And then they only took Mosley last year, who to me was a win because he's going to be a multi-year guy for us. Mm-hmm. But we probably should have taken another portal guy last year, right? And instead, we were like, oh, let's prove to everybody we can develop our people in-house. Don't listen to other people. What's been working for you works for you. Keep doing that.
That's, I guess that's a part of the equation too, though, because again, we're talking about money, and like every team has a finite amount of dollars they could spend on an overall roster, right? Like Texas spent a lot of money on that wide receiver class last season, and we didn't see those guys play a whole lot this year. So what are you going to do? Are you going to tell those guys, hey man, like, yeah, wait another year. We're going to bring in another transfer. And Wingo's back, and Mosley's back, and Livingston's back, and we're going to add somebody else. So, hey, congrats, you're fifth,
what
sixth,
does that say to Jamie French? What does that say to Khalid Lockett? Right. Yeah, that tomorrow's really important, BK, for Michael Terry, you know, all of these guys.
Yeah.
Dalen McCutcheon, right? Because a lot of people think, hey, and I'm one of the McCutcheon believers because I love the fact that he picked up the playbook so quickly and was able to play on offensive snaps in the Ohio State game as a freshman, but he didn't get the same opportunities that others have gotten. Tomorrow will be the case. So tomorrow is, because if some of these guys make noise, then it's like, okay, is this guy ready to make the leap? The guy, like you said, we've already invested in, we've developed him in-house, we've at least watched them grow, or even if the fans haven't seen them. So, but I also know that as a Texas fan myself, I'm skeptical of evals right now about this staff. I don't know if I can trust them the way I once did after the lies they told me last offseason. So the bowl game tomorrow is really, really critical for guys like Lockett, French, etc.
Yeah, sure as hell don't trust Kyle Flood in his evals right now. That guy doesn't deserve anybody's trust. I'm a little disappointed that he's still here, to be perfectly honest with you, but that's not a choice I get to make.
Not all the staff were graded on the same scale, sir.
No, that is clearly the case, as we've learned this offseason. We've got the great Steven Nadi from Fanatic Perspective filling in for the Buck in hour number one. We'll have Tyler McComas from Norman, Oklahoma, filling in hour number two. So we'll get a taste of what's going on north of the Red River. Definitely want to get Steven's thoughts on tomorrow's Cheez-It Citrus Bowl. That's right, one more sleep. And then Texas will be playing its final football game of the 2025 season on the final day of the 2025 calendar year. Before we talk about things we want to see from the Longhorns in Orlando, a couple of more sponsor shout-outs. We will start with a word from our great friends at Covert Bee Cave.
You see Covert everywhere. It's that personal level of just feeling like it's a personal family interaction.
The customer service, it's impeccable. It's unlike anything I've ever experienced buying a car.
Over the 30 years that I've been buying cars from them, I feel like I know them and they know me.
Covert's done an amazing job of making me feel valued. If you purchase a vehicle and you want to feel like you're part of a family, join the Covert family.
Come and experience it for yourself.
Covert, born and raised in Austin.
Yes, indeed. Love the Covert Auto Group. Again, if you're in the market for a newer pre-owned car, truck, or SUV, go see our great friends at Covert Bee Cave off of Highway 71, or you could shop their entire inventory online at covertbeecave.com. Also, some love to our friends at Sue Patrick, rocking the Longhorn hat from Sue Patrick this morning. If you were looking for the best selection of Texas Longhorn gear anywhere in the world, go see our friends at Sue Patrick. You can shop in store at 5222 Burnett Road. Tons of parking, tons of free parking. And you can also shop online, SuePatrick.com. They've got free shipping on online orders over $59. If you're looking for a great late holiday gift, if you're looking for a New Year's gift, yeah, you're just looking to outfit yourself with some better Longhorn gear next year. It's more than Texas gear. Tons of great gifts, collectibles, trinkets as well. Sue Patrick is the place to go. Again, do your online shopping at SuePatrick.com. And also some love to Relax the Back. I miss my Relax the Back chair. I'm sitting in like a random hotel desk chair, not very comfortable. I miss being home already. I've been away from home for 12 hours. Big part of why I miss being home is I miss my Relax the Back chair. I'm always comfortable when I'm doing shows in my home studio, thanks to Relax the Back. If you work from home, heck, if you work in an office, you got to get a nice chair. Relax the Back has you covered. Plus, they've got mattresses, they've got massage tools, they've got everything you need to make your back pain a thing of the past. Leave your back issues behind in 2025. Make that a New Year's resolution to take care of yourself. You can do that with Relax the Back. Two great Austin area locations, one up north at 183 and 360, and the other down south in the Hill Country Galleria. It is Relax the Back. All right, Steven, tomorrow, 2 o'clock Central Time, Texas and Michigan, the Longhorns currently 7-point favorites. Yesterday, the Longhorns were -7.5, so the line has gone down half a point if you care about those kinds of things. But I'm just curious, besides a win, give me two or three things that you were really looking and hoping to see from the Texas Longhorns in their final game of this 2025 season.
Real opportunities for some of the younger position players we just mentioned, especially against a Michigan team that defensively is going to be very, really tuned up and stout against the run, even with some of the opt-outs like Moore and Barham, you know, NFL guys on their side. They're going to have most of their dudes that were a part of a pretty good run-stuffing unit. But even with all the coaching turnover on both sides, but especially on Michigan, they got whenever they played a real offense with a pulse. Even John Mateer, 270 yards passing, right? USC put up numbers. Dylan Raiola threw for 300-plus on these dudes. So, I mean, just really the more set part of our team right now is going to be Arch Manning, is Trevor Goosby, is Jack Gendry's, you know, Ryan Wingo. So just looking to see those guys produce, but also as we mix in the Locketts, the Frenches, and seeing them get their opportunities, some of the young tight ends, I want to see them get opportunities in the pass game. A, because it's a path to victory for us. Winning the game is still critical. But B, just seeing them get real live reps, seeing the reward of them in those 15 practices, I think will be huge for us. The next thing for me is who looks like a Will Muschamp type of player on defense, right? Because the more guys they can identify or find, or the guys that he's comfortable with, can help save some time. And especially in the secondary, because there's going to be big changes on how they play football back there versus, you know, a lot of zone principles, a lot of eyeing the quarterback footwork wise. Now they're going to be more on hands on man, physical athletes, kind of the Nick Saban type. That's a big shift, BK.
Yeah.
Philosophically for those young DBs. So who will show us that they're more attuned to that? Position changes. Guys like Jordan Johnson-Rebell, who we haven't seen a lot of, could be spun down. Jonathan Cunningham, Jonah Williams, right? A lot of these guys, you know, Michael Taft isn't playing in this game. So I want to see who are those guys that are going to stand out, because on the counter, Michigan needs to unwrap Bryce Underwood. This can't be another game where they hide the guy, they don't let him run, they have him throw 12 passes. You're paying all that money for Bryce Underwood. You go and get Kyle Whittingham or Willingham and all this stuff. They need to unleash Bryce Underwood. And I want to see Bryce Underwood unleashed against Texas, because that's going to give us a better look for what we need to see. If they come in there and do the same old run the ball 58 times and have him throw 12 times, well, that's great and we win, but what good does that do me in from evaluating any of these people? So that's a big part of what I need to see tomorrow personally.
Yeah, if I'm Michigan, I'm asking Bryce Underwood what he wants to do in this game, because I think if you're Kyle Whittingham, you're doing whatever you need to do to make sure Underwood doesn't hit the transfer portal, right? And they paid that guy a lot of money, but let's not forget, he was one time committed to LSU. LSU needs a quarterback. I mean, if Underwood enters, he can get another big payday somewhere else. So he signed with Michigan thinking he was going to be playing for Sharone Moore. Obviously, Sharone Moore is gone. You've got a coaching change there. So if I'm Michigan, if I'm Biff Poggi, but more so if I'm Kyle Whittingham, I'm having a sit down with Bryce Underwood, and I'm like, dude, do you want to throw it 50 times? Do you want to throw it 0 times? Whatever you want to do, we're doing in this football
game. It's your world, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, you're right. Michigan, throughout the regular season, I mean, they ran it an average of 38 times per game. They were a top 20 rushing offense in college football. I mean, that's what Michigan has been basically for their entire history. They are smash mouth, ground and pound. They want to out physical you. That's what they've been all about. And for the last few years, Steve, that's been a blessing for Texas. Like, I've loved going up against those kinds of teams that try to out bully the Longhorns, because most teams haven't been able to do it. Right? Texas's run defense has been so good since the start of 2023, and Pete Kwiatkowski has been so good when he's allowed to play his base 3-4 defense that it just hasn't worked. I mean, look at the Michigan game last year. Obviously, there's a ton of differences between both sides in this game than what we saw early in the 2024 season, but that's what Michigan tried to do against Texas, and it did not work. Now, the question for tomorrow's game is, okay, you've got a new defensive coordinator, and you also are down 7 starters on defense. So if this was, you know, a full complement of Texas defensive players and Pete Kwiatkowski calling things, I would have no worries about this game at all. I'd have no fear about Michigan's high-powered rushing offense going up against Texas's run defense. I feel like that's a matchup Texas would win 10 times out of 10. But because of all of the changes that we've seen for the Longhorns on defense, I don't know what to expect from that matchup, Steve.
I think you're going to see experimentation on both sides out of necessity. You know, Biff Poggi, you brought up, and some of the Michigan staff are auditioning for their jobs under Coach Whittingham, right? And so they're going to want to show that it's not just going to be the same old, like what are some different things that maybe you wanted to do, but they got nerfed under Sharone Moore, or just unlocking. I mean, they have a nice young freshman receiver, Andrew Marsh, who had a really good season. They have a good young back in Jordan Marshall, sophomore year. He had 4 straight 100-yard games before the Ohio State game got away from them, right? So they've got some pieces there to work with, some good tight ends. Can they look more? The thing for Michigan is trying to maintain that Michigan man physicality that you talked about. They are, that when I think of Michigan, I think of phone booth football. I think of 12 personnel, let's bang. But how can we be more modern? We have Bryce Underwood. Why are we still under center with all these damn tight ends and not letting this Ferrari out the garage, right? So you got to figure out how to be more modern. And for Texas, it's Operation, we got Arch, you don't. And what does this defense look like? With, we talked about the starters that are down on defense, but a lot of these defensive linemen have played a lot of football in Texas.
Yeah.
I don't want to see a drop-off. I know, again, they will be doing some things differently. They're talking about experimenting with Colin Simmons, experimenting with Brad Spence. I hear all that. But I, the production needs to be at bare, like, come on now. I don't, like, you fired the coordinator for a reason. You're making these changes for a reason. I understand. I think what Johnny Nansen is going to be calling the defense tomorrow.
Yep.
I still want to see them being sound up front when Michigan does bang, because they will, and letting those guys get after the passer when they have those opportunities.
Yeah, you talked about it a few minutes ago, right? Like press coverage, more physicality, especially in the secondary, being a big part of what Coach Boom is bringing back to Texas. I don't know if we'll see any of that tomorrow. I mean, Coach Boom's been at practice, but he's not really been coordinating the defense, right? It's been Johnny Nansen.
He's more just evaluating.
Sorry, exactly. Yeah. So maybe we'll see more of what we saw from PK this year versus that change that Steve Sarkisian was clearly looking for, which is why he made the change himself. But, yeah, I wonder what we're going to get from this Texas defense. And, you know, what's the priority for the Longhorns, Steve? Like, we've heard some of the players, we've heard some of the coaches come out and say that they want to win. Heard Trevor Goosby over the weekend talk about wanting to send a message to the College Football Playoff Committee that, like, they made a mistake leaving Texas out. And we've seen teams do that in recent years. I mean, look at Georgia in 2023 when they were 12-0 in the regular season, lost the SEC championship to Alabama, got left out of the four-team field. They played Florida State and beat them like 60,000-0 in that game. So is it that? Like, does Texas want to do that? Is that the priority? Like, send a message, like, you made a mistake leaving us out. We're one of the 12 best teams in college football. We're going to prove it to you. Or are they more into the experimental phase that you're talking about? Like, let's see what we have with all of these young guys. This game really doesn't matter in terms of the standings. This is the first game we played since the Alamo Bowl at the end of the 2022 season that hasn't had a direct impact on a conference or national championship run. So let's just see what we have with our young guys so we can identify what we need to do when the portal opens up 2 days after the game is over. That's what I'm curious to see. Like, if Texas wants to win this game, and I know people are going to say, oh, here's classic SEC fan, do they want to be there? If Texas wants to win this game, they're going to win this game. They're a better team than Michigan. But if they want to experiment and they're just rotating guys in and out to see what they have, then obviously you open up the door for an inferior team to beat you. So I'm curious what the priority, not what they say the priority is. They're talking about wanting to win the game. But what is the actual priority for Texas? I think we're going to learn that with the personnel decisions we see tomorrow afternoon.
To your point with what they want out of this game and some previous examples, walk with me here for a second.
Yep.
Sark himself said he got hired because of what he did at Bama as an offensive coordinator and blah, blah, blah. So we often do what? And that's true. That's true. We often say, when are we going to see Bama Sark? When are we going to see that type of offense? Well, I remember, I think it was the 2019 season going into 2020, Alabama played in the Citrus Bowl versus Michigan. And at that point, Mac Jones had already taken over for Tua because Tua had the hip injury. He was out for the rest of the season. They lost the Iron Bowl to Auburn, and Mac threw the pick six, all that. But they came back in that Citrus Bowl. For anybody that doesn't remember, they sent a message in that game to Michigan. It was 35-16. Mac Jones threw for like 350, three touchdowns. Jerry Jeudy had 200 yards. Najee Harris ran for 150. That became what you saw of 2020 Bama. That was the real first game of 2020 Bama, really looking at it in terms of how that offense was humming in that game. That's kind of, to me, a type of message that Texas could send. Mm-hmm. Is Arch coming out there, throwing for over 300 yards, getting some young guys involved, you running the ball better than people expect. I'm not expecting Texas to go crazy on the ground, especially with the backs that they'll play. But what I am looking for from guys like James Simon and Christian Clark and Michael Terry is, can you get dirty yards? Can you protect the ball when it's third and two? When it's second and two, can we be productive? I'm not saying you guys got to average 5-6 yards per carry. Now, if that happens, go off, my guy.
Yeah.
Maybe you know, go off. That's your opportunity, because they know they should be aware of what's going on in the portal too. They should be aware of Coach JJ there now. So this is your opportunity. But can you be an efficient, effective run game? Because Lord knows we have struggled when they talk about physicality and improving the toughness in the program. That also applies to Sark's side of the ball when it comes to goal line and dirty yards and short yardage situations. If they can be good there, which they were a year ago when they went to Michigan, they did do that well, despite not averaging anything crazy outside of the Ryan Wingo reverse. They were good on picking up those second and twos, third and twos, fourth and ones. That's what I'm looking to see from some of the young backs tomorrow while protecting the football.
Yeah, it's a great point. It's an audition for a lot of these younger guys, and especially the ones with new position coaches that they get to impress. I mean, I guess everybody on the defense kind of gets to audition because there's a new defensive coordinator. But talking about those running backs, look, Texas is definitely getting one back out of the portal. We know that. If you ask me right now, Steve, I think the Longhorns are probably going to get two backs out of the transfer portal. But
plus Derek Cooper as a prep from the prep side.
For sure. But, like, if James Simon goes out tomorrow and runs for 120 yards and looks really good, again, big if, I don't think that's going to happen. I'm not sure if Texas is going to rush for 100 yards as a team tomorrow, considering how bad they've been at running the football. And, oh, yeah, they're also down four running backs, too. But if James Simon plays really well tomorrow, is that enough for Steve Sarkisian to say, you know what, we only need one out of the portal? Maybe we got a little bit more money we can spend on Cam Coleman now. Maybe we got a little bit more money we can spend on a defensive back or a nose tackle or some other area that this team needs to address. Same conversation with Christian Clark. Like, Clark obviously hasn't looked very good this year coming off that torn Achilles, but, hey, maybe the 3 weeks off between, I guess 4 weeks off between the A&M game and the Michigan game has allowed Christian Clark to heal up that Achilles a little bit more. And he looks better, and he looks like he could be a real difference maker in that backfield in 2026. So I wonder if, those two guys in particular, I don't think Michael Terry III or Ryan Niblett have the ability to change the coaches' minds with their running back plans, but those two guys, Simon and Clark, can they play well enough? There's a few other guys across the team that you could talk about too. Can they do enough in this game tomorrow to where they change the way this coaching staff views the way they need to construct their roster in 2026?
I would like to see Michael Terry, though, get some opportunities, not maybe at traditional running back, but he was supposed to be, and what was sold to us was this Swiss Army knife of a player, of a running H-back, basically your Roschon Johnson-ish, but very raw. Think of early Roschon when he moved from QB to running back, right? Mm-hmm. But a guy that's skilled enough and has enough ability to do multiple things, including splitting out wide and running routes. So I am curious, because I know with Niblett, it's probably going to be the Keelan Robinson type stuff, you know, the type of routes and so on the perimeter and screens and all that. But with Michael Terry, like, you can use him as a blocker. You can use him as a runner. You can use him as a receiver. Like, I am curious to see how he's used. Do they have a wildcat type situation for him? I mean, the kid played, like, literally every position in high school.
Yeah.
And was the number one athlete in the country for a reason. And his size is very, very, very unique for what he does. I am curious to see if Texas can muster up some creativity to get him involved.
I'm with you. 6'3", 215 pounds, the five-star out of the San Antonio area, you know, recruited as an athlete, started his Texas career as a wide receiver, but he's been working exclusively at running back for the last month and change. So, and with all of the departures in that room, yeah, I think we should almost expect Michael Terry. I'll be disappointed if we don't see Michael Terry get a couple of carries at least in this game tomorrow, right? Like you said, whether they're traditional running back carries or just maybe touches is a better word I should use than carries, that guy should be on the field right now.
He's one of my candidates, and I only use this for bowl games like this. He's one of the candidates of, should that guy have played in the regular season more? Like, I think you could potentially be saying that about a guy like him after the game. And I am curious in the chat and comments, Who are those guys that you think could be one of those candidates after the Cheez-It Bowl, right? Should that guy have been playing? Like, who is that, right? Like, because there's going to be somebody. It could be Lockett. It could be French. It could be Nick Towson. I don't know, right? It could be somebody on the line. It could be Alex January. Should that guy have got more reps? Should that guy have got more snaps, you know? So yeah. I think Michael Terry could, end up, you know, because his skill set is very, very unique, BK.
I see your Terry. I'll raise you another Terry, Justice Terry, maybe in that conversation too, after what we see from him tomorrow. We saw him play a little bit more down the stretch, but yeah, excited for his future. I think that will be a part of the conversation coming out of the game for sure. Steven, this was great, man. Thanks so much for doing this. Before we let you go and bring in Tyler McComas from Norman, Oklahoma, yes, that Norman, Oklahoma, I want to give you the opportunity to promote and plug everything that you've got going on these days to our audience.
Oh, absolutely, and agree on Justice Terry as well. That's actually the guy I'm thinking of on the defensive side of the ball for this conversation. But, yes, Fanatic Perspective, I will be doing some sort of live today. Stay tuned. Just to officially preview the game and chop it up with my boy John Tran over there. You can find me on all social media platforms, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, wherever you find content. And just love talking Texas. Big Spurs fan. I'm pissed off about last night's game, but we'll bounce back. You know, as BK mentioned, the Cowboys as well. We will be having some post-mortem talk over there for the season and things that need to happen in year two under Shoddy. But, you know, I'm just excited to be here with you, BK, and filling in today for a legend and Bucky Godbolt. So thanks for having me on this morning. It's been a blast.
Well, thanks for doing it, man. You're one of the best talents we have, but also one of the best dudes in the entire industry. So appreciate you chopping it up, and we'll definitely get you on and do this again soon, my man.
Thank you.
All right, there he goes. Fanatic Perspective. Y'all be sure to follow him on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. He just told you where to find him. Before we bring on Tyler McComas from The Ref in Norman, Oklahoma, a couple of quick sponsor shout-outs. A word for Altstadt Beer, the best beer that you can find all throughout the great state of Texas. I kid y'all not, I'm at a hotel here in Columbus, Ohio, and I went to the hotel bar after getting in town late last night, and I asked the bartender, like, you have Altstadt? He looked at me. He had no idea what I was talking about. One of these days, Altstadt will be nationwide. One of these days, Altstadt will be internationally known. But the good news is we're lucky enough to have it in our own backyard in the great state of Texas. Tons of different brews, something for every beer drinker out there. And every Altstadt is brewed in Fredericksburg, right in the heart of the beautiful Central Texas Hill Country. Check it out. The next time you're buying beer at your favorite bar or restaurant, the next time you're at the grocery store or the liquor store, wherever you buy your beer, make sure you're buying the absolute best Altstadt beer. No impurities, no regrets. And also a shout out to our friends at McCall Custom Homes. Hey, New Year's resolution. How about upgrading your home in 2026? You could do that with our buddy Mike McCall and his great team at McCall Custom Homes based in Austin. Tons of experience. They could turn your current home into something truly special. Or if you want to start from scratch, they can build you a custom home. If you want to redo a bathroom, renovate a kitchen, add some life to your outdoor space, maybe you've got a growing family and you need to add on to your home, whatever you're looking to do, McCall Custom Homes can help with that. Or again, if you want to start from square one, they have you covered as well. Just check out their website, McCallCustomHomesATX.com. They're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Tons of five-star reviews online. They've worked on Bucky's place. They've worked on Rodney's place. Whenever I buy a house, they're going to work on my place too. McCallCustomHomesATX.com. Right now, they're offering free estimates to TSU listeners, so make sure you take advantage of that as well.